Session number 27053.
Mr. Drake, Real 5. We're talking about your time with the primary training wing at Norwich, Britannia Barracks. And we're going through the food for the whole day in one. What about tea time, or whatever you call that meal?
They'd give you fairly good tea. They'd give you a high tea, or something, we'd call it like. There was something cooked usually every day. They'd come up with perhaps scrambled eggs. Scrambled egg would be one of the favourite. There may be you may be lucky and there's ham. There are cold meats and things like this. Plenty of bread, of course, and plenty of butter we used to get. Plenty of tea.
Did you get used to the army way of making tea, which is not the civilian way?
The army tea, later in the army, was incredible. They used to pour cans of condensed milk into it, not fresh, of course, and loads of sugar. And whether you liked it or not, that was the tea. And today I take only just a small drop of milk in my cup. I don't take sugar. And I certainly wouldn't have drunk that then, but I used to drink it. And as a soldier, that's how they done it. You didn't have a choice. There was no menu like they have in the army today. You had what they offered, and you could have a choice if you had ham or scrambled eggs, or you could have the two. But usually, you it was no help yourself. It was served to you, like, you know, by in barracks there. ATS girls were serving us. So if you had a bit of a smile and a bit of curly hair, you got to be helping.
Now, overall, was it enough?
Yes.
Were you hungry?
No. Never in all my army service was I hungry.
Right. The next thing, so after breakfast, we'll go back to breakfast.
Yeah.
After breakfast, what would happen in your day?
Would in ordinary day.
Or would it be drill?
Well, there would be a schedule went up. It wouldn't be drill every day. I mean, you'd usually start off with PT, mind.
Well, let's do that.
Yeah.
Now, how fit were you? What did you do for PT?
Well,
and how did it make you fitter, if it did?
It did, yeah. Well, if it was raining and bad weather, we were indoors. They had a gymnasium. Then we'd done the wall bars, vaulting horse, ropes and climbing. Mind you, they were Army Physical Training Corps. Instructors. They weren't a regiment or anything like that. They were general staff at the barracks. And they become bigots. The general staff in the barracks with young boy recruits, they were a bit cruel, but...
I'll come back to that.
They were. So they'd be in there in this PT and they'd be bawling and shouting up on the ropes and on the wall bars and vaulting. And there was this... they had a sort of big leather ball, which was quite heavy. And and they'd throw it at you as hard as they could, it seemed like it. And, you know, sometimes you'd hardly catch it, and it hit you straight in the stomach and things like that, wind you almost. And they thought that was very clever. And I hadn't been in the army a few weeks, and with a cloud of others, we went in and I had a tattoo put on my arm. Well, when you've had a tattoo, it goes like scabby on the thing. It doesn't, it takes a bit of healing. And when he saw, these instructors used to see a boy with a new tattoo, they'd deliberately aim these balls at the tattoo and all to hurt them. And they were a bit sadistic, some of the trainers, but you felt good after you had a session.
Did it improve your fitness?
Yes, I'm sure it did. It sure did. Because, well, I ran around a bit, like, but I'd never done... you know, running as such for physical exercise, but I'd get around. I used to cycle a lot when I was homey. I didn't swim a lot. I didn't swim in the army at all. But
did you do cross-country running?
Yeah. Now, usually Friday afternoons they would relax. You could play football or cross-country run. I used to always do the run.
What were the runs like?
They were pretty hectic, mind, you know, because to qualify as an infantryman, you have to do so many, you have to do a run in so many minutes sort of thing, a mile or something like this. I don't know what they gave us, about a quarter of an hour or something like that. I don't know what it was. I can't remember, but we certainly done cross-country running, and it wasn't all town in row on the roads. We'd go through a copse. Now, at Norwich...
Just on the Mousehold?
Yes, exactly. I was just going to say to you, at Norwich, we done most of this training on Mousehold. That's to the east side of Norwich.
It's behind the barracks, isn't it, on the hill?
Yeah, there are prisons up there as well, up on that side of the hill. And we used to go out on this Mousehold. It was something like Dartmoor, heather and open heath, and we used to do a lot there. We done our first night patrolling and training.
Oh, what about the cross-country runs? You did them on there as well?
Yes, we done all round there. We used to run out. I don't know if I know we used to go out. There was a boot factory out there, and Coleman's Mustard had a factory out there. We used to go right out around there quite a lot. Well, as I say, nearly all our training was done out at Mousehold while I was in the Britannia barracks.
So that's the PT. I mean, what about route marches?
Did you do them? We did.
What were they like?
Well, they weren't bad. They weren't bad. If we were on a, what they call a force march, they stepped us up to speed of light infantry, but we were carrying the packs and that of ordinary infantry, so it was pretty tough. And
how far did you go
on a route march? Well, later on, not from Norwich.
Norwich,
about 3 miles.
Really just an hour's march or even 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, what about other sessions you might have in the morning? What about, drill would be one.
Yeah,
now,
drill.
You've done some drill.
Yeah.
How was this moving on your drill? How different was it?
Different on the what? On the...
From the drill you'd done before, you know.
Oh, well... yes, but mind you, left turn, right wheel and all that sort of thing was similar. But then we had to learn arms drill, like presenting arms and shouldering arms and all that caper with their rifles. But apart from that, and then there was saluting, of course. We had been taught saluting with the air cadets as well. Saluting with an arm, you know, presenting arms and... shoulder arms to salute. We done a lot of that on the barrack square, and once a week the band would turn out, and the band would play while all the intercompany, the whole depot was there. Before that it'd be just one company out there doing the drill, but once a week they had a band in the barracks. They would turn out, and the colonel or whoever he was in charge of the barracks, don't ask me his name in them days, he would take the salute, and it was full of bull, and I rather like bull, you know.
You were still enjoying drill then?
I loved the army. Once I'd got over the bit of homesickness, I loved the army. I used to sit in a lecture room and being told about something, and they'd say, who can tell me that? And I knocked Boston again, I'd sit there and I'd put my hand up and he'd say, not you, you, and there'd be someone half asleep at the backboard to tears, and he'd pick on him or someone like that, you see. But I used to love them talking about anything about to do with the army, still do today. My wife reckons I've never left the army.
So now what about weapons training? That's a big part of basic training.
Well, the first... Believe it or not, the first way they trained us to fire a rifle was laying on the barrack room floor with a rifle. They made sure there was nothing in the magazine, and they held up in front of their eye a thing like, I've not seen one since. It was when I was in primary training, like a little sight, and you pointed it at it, and the instructor was looking through his eyepiece at you, and he was... and instructing you how to hold the rifle correctly, of course, first of all, how you'd lie, the position, your elbows. Then he would lay down, and he would then tell you to take sight. And he would explain to you, you're too low, you're too right, too left, and he would tell you. But that's the first training you ever have on a rifle, sighting it.
Now, what about the business of how to hold it? Was there any special way of holding it in line? You've obviously said there is, you just said, but can you explain it?
Yeah, once we'd left primary training, I never handled a rifle again like that. I used to, in my own natural way, use a rifle.
Well, that's very interesting. So tell us the army.
Yeah,
thing.
Well, it was firmly, hold it firmly with the left hand, and in the position on the, and your right hand on the butt here, tucking the cheek into the butt and never closing one eye, to keep your eyes open, both eyes open. You mustn't squint, and yet very often people, good shots, close one eye. But no, basically legs apart, feet out, and all sorts of way. They'd come and kick your legs out
if
on
you're
tap them with your foot, yeah, when you're laying down. And they didn't dwell a lot on the positioning of it, but of course they'd make sure when you're on the ranges and that you were lining it up correctly, holding the gun, because it's important with a rifle, of course, you hold the gun correctly and firmly, otherwise it'll kick you in the shoulder. You will get a bit of a kick. But I'd shot 12-bore shotguns quite a bit before I went in the army, so they never worried me at all.
Now, what about range work?
They moved on when you're going to actually fire a bullet out of the rifle. But it was we used all 303s, the Lee Enfields, with a 22 barrel. So we went on indoor ranges, first of all, a 2-2, in other words, what they call a 2-2. They'd been converted for 2-2. They had no kick at all, quite good. I can always remember the first time I went in, the smell of cordite, it lingers in this indoor range. It's all 22 rifle ranges have got the smell of this cordite. So we would have practice shooting with a 22 rifle. That was the first. Once we had, I don't know how many, half dozen lessons probably, firing off, something like 20 rounds at each session. And then we went on to the open 30 yards range with our own rifles, using our own rifles, because we'd been issued to the rifles, within the first week of joining. I didn't mention it, but we'd had inoculations and all this.
I should have mentioned it on
the first day or two, and then we're issued with our uniforms.
I will come back to that. I'll come back.
Okay.
So carry on with the rifle training.
Yeah, well, then we got on the 303 ranges. And this was going to be some good. And I tell you, I was disappointed that these things didn't kick any more than they did. Now, we had all sorts of weird and wonderful ideas from lads that knew all the ropes. We had a small amateur. We had Mark IV number one rifles, and they had a little an aperture sight. And it was on an L shape. And if you were firing on 30 yards, you had it down forward, and then you brought up with a small aperture for long shooting for different ranges. And so they said, fill this with soap and push a tiny pin through it and reduce the aperture. There's a lot of these chaps are reckoning to be a good shot, but I didn't need it. And I'm telling you, on the range, I expect if I went on it today, I could still handle a rifle on the range quite well. But that's all the shooting I think we ever done was on the 30-yard range.
So not, yeah. What made you a good shot?
Well, I don't know. I'd had an air rifle when I was a little boy. I could handle an air rifle quite well, and I knew position of leaf sighting and this sort of thing, holding the gun, and I was fairly steady. As you know, some people don't realise it, but they shake a bit, even people that look fit men. But I could hold a gun quite well and still do.
What about eyesight? Is that important?
It is important, yeah. Because there's some lads, from the primary training, they're now preparing us to be infantrymen. And there's a stage a little ahead that we're talking about when the corn is sorted from the chaff. And a lot of lads, I've known them to have not many infantry boys wore glasses when I was in the army. Not many.
You do now.
Oh, yes. No, I didn't wear them until I was 40, 50. But not many infantry boys wore glasses. They wore them in the army, but they were usually in other different units. Obviously, if you lost your glasses up at the front, you'd be in Stuke, wouldn't you? So they couldn't have people really. So they didn't. But
So you think it was your experience and your steadiness and your decent eyesight?
Yes, I think
a combination.
Combination, yes.
Now, what about looking after your rifle? Because a lot of people think this is very important. Could you describe the cleaning routine? How do you clean your rifle?
Well, we'll say we've come in from, when you go onto the ranges, there's a rifling in your barrel that spins the bullet when it comes out the end. And the cordite tends to clog up in there, and certain amount of their tin case bullets were used. It wasn't solid lead, the end, but the tin case would certain rub into the grooves and so forth, so you had to clean them. Now, in the butt end of your rifle, there's a brass plate, and there's a little cubby hole, and you pull a little lever, and that down comes to that. And in there is a little brass container with oil, and there's another little piece of brass on a long piece of string, to explain it crudely, and a loop on the end. And this, what you done when we came in, we had to go to the outside the cookhouse, and they had a barrel of boiling water, and they each man would queue up, and they'd pour about half a gallon of boiling water, hot water, through your rifle. You'd go in from the bolt end and heat the barrel up. Then you would have a piece of flannel, and it was a long tape, like a toilet roll or something, and it was divided in red lines. These were 4x2. That's the size of the flannel between the red lines. So you would tear it off, and one of these, and you would put it in the loop. Then you would drop the brass piece, which was just under the size of your barrel. Our barrels were 303. Drop it down, and then you'd pull it through, and you'd do it about four or five times through the barrel, and it would be quite black when it came out, and that kept the barrel. And then the next thing you done, you in this brass thing, you had to maintain that was full of oil, because if one day they check you on guard and that's not full of oil, you're in real stook. So you poured a little oil into the barrel, and then pulled another bit of, I used to always pull about an inch by, 4 by inch, so it didn't take all the oil out. It kept it in there, but the only thing is it didn't shine the barrel, and you might get caught out for that, although your rifle was being looked after better. But then you would take the bolt out, and you with the bolt, and you would clean it all with bits of 4x2, a little brush, and then oil it all, put it in and rattle it in and out as though you were loading it. And you see your magazine was clean, because you had a magazine underneath holding, was it 10 rounds and one up the spout, I think. Yeah, but that held 10, two clips of 5. And that was the maintenance of your rifle, really.
And how would they check it?
You would stand on parade, and you would present arms, and you would stand forward with the muzzle of the gun pointed out, holding it here, undo your...
Holding it down towards your hip.
Yeah, towards your hip. Take your bolt out. And then you put your thumb, you spit on your thumbnail, and put that in where the bullet, in the breech. And the officer would come in, or a sergeant, look down the barrel, and he would see if that barrel was clean. Your thumbnail was reflecting light up into the barrel. It was a... they'd see mine if there was a spot of rust. I've never seen a chap with a rifle with a dust, but rust, but I've seen them with mud, and when they've been on manoeuvres and not cleaned them properly, and they've... pulled them. But that was inspection, arms inspection, yeah.
Now we're just going to go back now to, you mentioned it, the kitting out and the vaccinations,
yeah,
and the haircut.
Yeah.
Firstly, the kitting out. Tell me about the kitting out.
Yeah, yeah. The kitting out. Well, you went down to the quartermaster, and they said, you know, what size hat do you take? Well, I'd never worn a hat in my life, I don't think. So they then put a band on, and they said, oh, yeah, 7 1/4 was my hat. I still take a 7 1/4. And so they flopped this side cap on their head, a side cap we had. And they then gave us a tunic, which is all far too big out front, trousers. This was for our best kit. They then give you a what they call denim suit. That is for working in and going on manoeuvres and getting dirty, because it's laundered every week for you. So
that was khaki as well?
Khaki, denim, all denim. But this best uniform, the battle dress we had. And then what happened, I'll finish with the uniform. The day after we have it on, we had to parade, all of us, with this uniform on. And a civilian tailor came from up in Norwich somewhere, where he'd got the contract. And he walked through with a piece of chalk in his hands. He pulled the battle dress out, and he went sump, 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 a few lines, and around the back, sump, sump, sump. You then took your uniform off, put your name, rank and number and so forth on it, and put it in a basket. It was taken away. Came back about 2 days later, and it fitted like a glove. Yeah, what he'd done, he'd taken in all the tuck and nips and tucks like, and taken you and made it fit. And that's how we got our first battle dress.
Now, what about the equipment? You mentioned of that when you were talking about the bed. Now, was that how they issued it? They left it on the bed for you?
Really? Most of it was, yeah. Most of it was left on the bed. On the bed would be a small pack and a large pack, a belt, and your cross straps. They weren't assembled. You had to assemble them. You were shown how to and later. Water bottle. All these standard issue things that didn't need being measured for or fitted for were on your bed when you went in. You then drew a rifle, mind, your rifle, and it was numbered. That number went against you. You signed for your rifle. And a bayonet was issued with it, and we had a small, we called them the pig sticker bayonets, a 10-inch bayonet. There was several varieties, but ours was a straight pick-like, you know, sharp-ended steel bayonet. And a steel helmet was issued to us, mind, later, when we drew our equipment, and a gas mask. I think we drew the gas mask in equipment on that day. Pair of boots, of course, we were fitted for our boots. Socks were issued, two pairs of socks, underpants, and I think nearly all items of clothing were issued to us from the quartermaster store. They weren't on the bed when we arrived at night. So
the
we
housewife was. The housewife.
Yes, housewife was. It had a cotton and a thimble and some needles and a darning wool and a darning needle, things like that in it.
And now, so that's that. The other thing we missed out, it's my fault, the vaccinations. I
mean, yes.
What were they and what effect?
Well, they we had two. Was it TAB or something like this? There was two of them they gave us. One was an injection with a needle. The other one was a vaccination. They scraped you. They put something on and scraped a needle. In other words, the end of the needle was cutting into your flesh. A vaccination, and some of them it made you. Some people felt groggy. I fortunately again never got away with it. But I have a very good friend of mine. I hope he's still alive today. I haven't heard from him for at least 10 years, but. We were together late, all right through my training and right through Italy and till after the war. And he came out, just looked around, went very pale and flat out on his face. And he wasn't the only one. Several of them fainted from having a needle put in their arm. And so they then sent you back to the barrack room, and we were excused all duties for the rest of the day. And the next thing was the dentist. You all... up to the dentist, and I think I didn't have an extraction, but I had two or three fillings.
Now, what state were your teeth in?
Well, they were fairly good, really.
Had you had a regular dentist?
Yes, fairly regular, but I hadn't had any for probably a year, and being young, I suppose they were some of my first teeth, some of them, I don't know, but I had two or three fillings from the army, and they were silver. Like they silver colour they were. They weren't in the front, fortunately. They were at the back. I've lost them since, like.
How kindly were they?
Well, they weren't.
Do you know what I mean? Because it could be quite painful.
Oh, they were. They ground terrible, like grinding. It was pretty bad. I didn't like it at all.
It was worse than your civilian dentist.
Oh, yes. I think so. They were coming through. Although there was a woman dentist... done some of my teeth. I don't know whether she was an army nurse or something, I don't know. But it wasn't good at all. But I had to have dentistry later through my army life, but and some of it was crude when we were in active service.
I'll
but
perhaps come back to
that. Yeah, I'm saying, but...
What about the haircut? I mean,
the haircut.
You at all?
Down you went. Now, it is true in the army. You see, if you went in and you was... went in and you was all right, they had hundreds, but the first one, they can't tell really, so they give you a haircut, And so if you, it's sixpence. They charge the army charger for that, but they don't have to part with the sixpence there. It's deducted from your pay. But if you drop them sixpence, if you give the barber sixpence when you're coming out the next time, he wouldn't shave you too much. But if you didn't, of course, there's a lot of men come through him. But if you was willing to have a sixpence in your hand or show him in any fort, they were usually better. But they did take your hair down fairly close.
Now, how long was yours when you went in, and how much did they take you back to?
Well, it took about an inch up the top, and almost up above the ears was fairly well to their
and
skull.
How long was it before you went in?
Well, it depended.
Yours?
Well, about 3 weeks, I suppose. I had to go again.
No, sorry. When you went in, I mean, in civilian life, how long had your hair
been? Oh, no, I had fairly short hair. I didn't have long hair. No one did. No man, I've never seen a man with long hair.
So it was just, but they cut it anyway.
Yeah, they cut it. Yeah, that's right. If it's quite true. Some men had their hair cut, and the sergeant prayed you the next day. I told you'd have hair cut, and I have sergeant. Well, go and get another one. That's true. That is, if he thought it wasn't close enough for him.